Right. I'm David Haller. I'm from the University of North Carolina. My topic is using the ICF to develop patient treatment plans to promote interdisciplinary teamwork. Since 2000, our university has conducted a health affairs interdisciplinary case conference each spring, usually on two nights involving anywhere from 600 to 700 healthcare profession students from about 10 different schools. In this health interdisciplinary case conference, we have used the ICF, I think, for the entire time, although I've been with the project only since 2006, and I'm currently one of the principal investigators on the project. I first learned about the ICF when I was at the 2002 Healthy People 2010 Focus Group 6 meetings in Atlanta from Mike Adams and Runa Simeonson and Don Lawler, and I quickly bought into the great biopsychosocial framework and usefulness of the instrument. It was interesting when I came on the project at UNC, when I arrived at UNC in 2006, that I was brought onto this project, and in one of the meetings we were looking at the instrumentation for the current year's project, and everyone kept referring to the WHO instrument, and no one referred to it as the ICF. They didn't realize what they were using, and I happened to see it, and I instantly recognized that it was the ICF based on the breakdown with the facilitators and barriers. So anyhow, that's kind of a funny way of how how this came about. But the overall goal of the project is to promote appreciation for the professional knowledge and roles of various healthcare professionals. And we do it with the ICF as kind of the centerpiece tool to get health profession students to work together on a standardized patient case. As most of you are aware, the ICF, the International Classification of Functioning Disability and Health, can be used in a variety of functions, including as a statistical tool, as a research tool, and educational tool, and we look at using all of these aspects in the course. Our learning objective is, again, to promote interdisciplinary appreciation for each health profession's knowledge and contributions to patient care, and where every member of the student team can be a leader. A sample schedule when we have the interdisciplinary case conference. Again, this is two nights in the spring, and usually about 300 students per night. We break the students up into teams of approximately 6 to 8 students and try to break it up so that there's only one student from each discipline, but that's not always so easy to do because some of our schools are much larger than others. So we do what we can there. And there's one faculty facilitator. Don't get confused, since we call them facilitators, so not to be confused with facilitators in the ICF. There's one faculty facilitator with each group. And initially, we bring the students together in a room as one huge group. We give them pizza, and we get them introduced to what they're going to be doing during the evening. And the facilitators have a separate training where they learn on the ICF if they are not already familiar with it. And then the students break up into their groups with their faculty facilitator, and they go to a room where they learn the ICF in a very brief overview nonetheless. And then they go over a hypothetical patient case scenario where this patient has already been discharged from the hospital, and they're seeing this patient as a follow-up. And so they're to develop a new patient treatment plan using the ICF format. And so over the course of a couple hours, they conduct two standardized patient interviews, and in the interim, they conduct a discussion using the ICF as a format for driving the group discussion and for each health profession school providing their knowledge in developing the new patient treatment plan. And finally, students complete questionnaires evaluating the course and what they got out of the experience. Our study purpose was to determine if the ICF model promotes interdisciplinary healthcare teamwork, and our students receptive to the ICF as a tool to developmentally assess a patient's disability condition. So we're comparing group knowledge and attitudes using surveys. And in this project, we're looking at the group as a whole, not looking at individuals or their particular schools. So we have a hypothetical case scenario. It's actually much more detailed than what's provided on this slide, but the person has a temporary disability. It's a trauma patient with multiple fractures, also a substance abuse history, limited family peer support. They're approximately 20-ish years of age, college age, basically, and it's been approximately 2 weeks since they were discharged from the hospital. So for the follow-up hypothetical scenario that the students are going to go over using the ICF. And again, as most of you know, the ICF consists of four domains, and we break up the ICF form that they go through by each of the four domains: body functions and structures, participation, environmental factors, and personal factors. So, and we also have them on a chart look at the facilitators, that is the strengths. We call it strengths on the form so that they don't get confused, and barriers. And until this year, we also asked the students in the groups to rank any conditions observed in strengths or barriers using the 0 to 4 scale in the ICF manual. We didn't find that they were using it that much, so we dropped it in this year's study. As for student attitudes toward interdisciplinary teamwork, we've used two instruments. One of them developed in England, the RIPPLES, the Readiness for Interprofessional Learning Scale, which is a 19-item instrument, which has pretty good reliability and validity. As part of a parallel teamwork study that we're doing with Duke University, we developed a new instrument, 36-item collaborative healthcare interdisciplinary relationship planning survey, and we've using RASH analysis and factor analysis, we've scaled that down to a 15-item instrument, and we use that this year, but we use the RIPPLES in the previous 2 years of the study. I'm providing 3 years of data for you here. Also, there are faculty and standardized patient evaluations of the groups. So here's an example of what we've done with the ICF forms. Originally in 2006, this was 4 pages long. We had a page for each of the ICF domains. In 2007, we scaled it to a front and back form. And again, it's a very large form. We print it on very large sheets so the groups can get in as much information as possible. We provide them with an example and the rating scale, at least until this year, and at least in last year, we used 2 domains per page. So we're trying to get it as concise as possible because we have had some pushback from some of the faculty in terms of this being too much of a research exercise and not so much in terms of an educational experience. So we've tried to reduce that as much as possible. Here are some sample items from the RIPPLE scale, again developed by Parcell and Bly, and the citations provided there. Again, this is a 19-item instrument, and it's rated on a 5-point scale. And here are some sample items from the CHIRP scale that we developed at UNC. We currently have the paper on this in review, and again, it has very good reliability and validity as well, and we validated it against the RIPPLES instrument. What we did with the CHIRP scale, so we wouldn't have to use personal identifiers in doing a pre-post format on the attitudes, we did a retrospective pre-post with this instrument. So that was one difference we used with the CHIRP instrument. So at the end of the exercise, they complete all their forms and assess their activities before any activity, after the activity. We had some good assistance from Rito O'Sullivan at UNC School of Education in developing and using this type of format. Here are some example items from the teamwork, the group evaluation used by the faculty, and standardized patient and assessing the teams. Also, there's a group debrief sheet where there are open-ended responses to the experience. So on this slide, I provide demographics from 2006, 2007, 2008. The number of respondents is actually the number of consenting students. Over 95% of students consented to have their data used. As you can see on the slide, the number is increased over the years, particularly because we brought on some extra health profession schools progressively, particularly this year.
If you might just
Okay.
Just take an extra minute or so.
Okay. And additionally, I do have handouts at the end if anyone wants to pick those up. Gender, overwhelmingly female, roughly about three-quarters female across all years. Overwhelmingly Caucasian among the students. The age range, for the most part, less than 25 years, although there's an appreciable number from 25 to 29 years of age. The class year varies depending on the school, and this is one of the limitations of the study because based on each school's curriculum requirements, the medical school has their second-year students out of 4 years participating in this activity, whereas nursing students have their second students who are in their last year of study. So one of the limitations may be that some students are further along in their education than others. Although, curiously, in a separate study, we had a student look at the how assertive students were, and we found our medical students are generally the most assertive in the activity. So not necessarily a knowledge impact there. But nevertheless, the breakdown... also, our social work students are rather assertive in the groups as well. Participation by discipline, and again, this shows another limitation. Again, the fact that some of the schools are a lot smaller than others. Our largest classes are medicine, with 160 students in the class, and here are the number of consenting students, around 150 consenting each year. Our nursing class has been very much involved each year, and additionally, pharmacy and social work. Dentistry has been rather tight because they usually have curriculum conflicts, so we're trying to improve that. But we could get a lot more students if we could make some adjustments to meet their curriculum schedule. We added nutrition from public health this year. Actually, there are 26 students who participated in 2008. Evidently, only two consented to use their data. So we'll have to do some improvements there. And additionally, we have students from physical therapy, rehabilitation psychology, and speech pathology and occupational science. With respect to the ICF results, the groups do not significantly differ in identifying a core set of conditions for the standardized patients, so that's excellent. We do want that to be non-significant. In terms of groups identifying barriers, as a group, they do very well in identifying energy and drive functions, including depression. We don't ask them to actually score using the ICF coding. We fill those in later. We actually just have them indicate in words what the condition is, and we score that later. Alcohol and drug problems are identified over 80% of cases, bleeding as an issue in the case, low family and friend support, multiple fractures, mobility in terms of joint functions, and also dizziness. One particular note that we found was that when students individually were going through the form, they were not nearly as successful at identifying conditions as the group was. So it just demonstrated the fact that this was a very good instrument once they got into this discussion where each could contribute and see where each discipline had something to contribute, and they were able to get better at the core set of conditions as a group than they were individually. In terms of attitudes, regardless of whether we use the Ripples or the CHIRP instrument, both of which had pretty good reliability, pretest and post-test, students improved in their attitudes, pretest to post-test, including the 2008 retrospective CHIRP post-test in all 3 years. So they significantly improved from pretest to post-test, from before to after the activity. Some selected student comments. A lot of students thought it was a wonderful program, just that there were a lot of logistical issues in terms of check-in and getting to their rooms. They want to cut down on the amount of time socializing and actually get to the case. Some other students felt, the student in particular, I think the program was a good introduction to interacting with other disciplines, and they'd like to see more events. And we are looking at maybe introducing more situations like this and tracking this longitudinally through the curriculum. There were some comments about the faculty should control the group dynamics better because certain schools tend to be more dominating than others, and so we need to address that. And I think that's really an issue in terms of getting the entire case standardized well, and I think we need to improve in our faculty training in particular. This year we had, I didn't include here, but there were an incredible number of comments on the not wanting pizza anymore. In fact, there are probably at least 100 comments on that, so we'll have to address that. In terms of faculty comments, one faculty member commented that it would be more meaningful if the students could meet as a group several times over the course of the year, so again, making this more a component of the curriculum, and they're looking forward to continuing. There is an issue with the ICF framework. A lot of students aren't familiar with it, particularly in the medical school. And one big problem we do have with this project is, despite the fact that the ICF is a biopsychosocial model, we still have a very pervasive medical model operating here. And there are a number of faculty in the planning committee who think that we should throw out the ICF. That's not going to happen anytime soon for basically because the PIs, including myself, want to keep it in there. And I think we have enough support to do that and improve upon it in making this a worthwhile experience and getting more training in there on just how useful the ICF is as a tool. Limitations of study. There are difficulties in conducting simultaneous educational and research evaluation activities, and we still need a lot of work to do there. There needs to be greater instruction on the ICF in the schools. Some of the schools teach it, but others do not, and again, particularly medicine. We are going to try to address this from the faculty viewpoint by offering online and in-person training this year with 5 CEU credits with more intensive training on the ICF. We need more standardization of the faculty and standardized patient training. I think the standardized patient training needs to be improved as well. And we definitely need to involve more persons with disabilities as course planners, faculty, and standardized patients, which we currently are very limited in doing. And also their discrepancy in levels of student participant training. We need to get more consistency there. So overall, while it's still a rough study, we think the ICF tool is very good at promoting interdisciplinary training for our students, and they're reporting increased understanding and appreciation for other disciplines, and their attitudes toward interdisciplinary training are improving. This work was supported by the UNC School of Medicine, and I have no relationships to disclose. We do thank Susan Coppola, I believe is the person who first introduced the ICF into this project before I entered the project. And we also have a website you can visit as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And our next presenter is